Thank you to our youth choir for that wonderful presentation this morning. Well, good morning, everyone. Take out your notes with me on this Memorial Day weekend, and we're going to test your memory a little bit. Talking to you a message about lest we forget. Isn't it true that so many times we forget the important things in life? And many times it's because we get so either busy or we get distracted from the important things that we then forget of what's most important in life. So many disorders that we hear about where people get distracted, like ADD or ADHD or ABCD or EFG, you know? There's so many disorders in life. Here's a new one that they just discovered. It's called AAADD. It's Age Activated Attention Deficit Disorder. Now let's see if it's happened in your life. This is how it kind of manifests itself, right? See if you can identify with this. Let's say you decide to water your garden, and so as you turn on the hose, you look over and see your car needs to be washed. So you walk towards the garage and you notice the mail on the porch table that you had brought up earlier from the mailbox. And you decide to go through it before you wash the car. So you lay down your car keys on the table, you toss the junk mail under the table in the trash can, but notice the trash can is full. So you decide to take out the garbage, but then think, since you'll be near the mailbox, you might as well pay your bills first. So you open your checkbook and see there's only one check left. Knowing that the extra checks are still in the house, you go inside where you see a can of Pepsi sitting on a counter that you had been drinking. The Pepsi's getting warm, so you decide to put it in the refrigerator to keep it cold. But as you head toward the kitchen, you see a vase of flowers on the counter that needs washing. So you set the Pepsi on the counter where you discover your reading glasses that you've been searching for all morning long. You decide you better put them back on your desk, but first you need to water the flowers. As you set the glasses back down on the counter and fill a container with water, you suddenly spot the TV remote. Someone had left it on a table, not knowing about it, and you realize that tonight you'll be watching TV and you'll be searching for it. But you're not going to remember that it's on the kitchen table, so you want to put it back in the den where it belongs. But first, you need to water the flowers. So you pour some water in the flowers, but quite a bit of it spills on the floor. So you set the remote on the table, get some towels, and you begin to wipe up the spill. Then you head down the hallway trying to remember what you're planning to do all this time. And at the end of the day, your car isn't washed, the bills aren't paid, there's a warm can of Pepsi on the counter, the flowers don't have enough water, there's still only one check in your checkbook, you can't find the remote, you can't find your glasses, and you don't remember what you did with the car keys. And then when you try to figure out why nothing got done today, you're very baffled because you feel you're busy all day and you're very tired. Anybody can identify with that? Yeah, we got a bunch of AAADDs in the house. Isn't it true that when you get distracted, you lose track of what's important in life? You do. It just happens like that. And the Lord was very concerned about the nation of Israel because He had the best of the best waiting for them. They had been taken out of Egypt. They were released from Egypt on the Exodus. They had traveled across and wandered in the desert 40 years. Now they're at the brink of the promised land, the best of the best that God has for them. But there was one obstacle in their way, the Jordan River. Now the Jordan wasn't this little Nuuanu stream. The Jordan River was this huge old river. And not only was this large river, it was flowing very rapidly. It was harvest time, the Bible says. It was overflowing its banks. It was a raging river. Joshua has taken the command of over 2 million people from Moses. And the Lord says to Joshua, I want you to take the people over the Jordan River into the promised land. Now Joshua looks at the river and you can imagine him looking at the Lord and saying, wait a minute, I know that's you, God. I know you're clearly telling me that, but kind of the wrong timing, huh? It doesn't make sense for me to take them over now. Can't we just wait a little bit? Ever happened to you like that? Where the Lord, you know, it's undeniably the Lord is asking you to do something, to move forward with something, but yet it just doesn't make sense. Like, Lord, I know you want me to go to church. I know you want me to get my life in order. I know I need to get things right with you. And so you want me to go to church, but why does it have to be New Hope? Bunch of fanatics in that church, you know, they're raising their hands and everything. Oh, Lord, I'll go to church, God. I'll go to church, but you want me to listen to the pastor? He's Portuguese, for goodness sakes. You know, I mean, it just doesn't make sense. Oh, okay, God, so you want me to get life better. You want me, this happened to us. You want us to adopt this child from China. Lord, the combined age of me and my wife is over 100 years old. I won't tell you who pushed us over the 100 mark, but we're over 100. It doesn't make sense. Sometimes God will tell us things, undeniably it's Him. He'll ask us to do something, but it just doesn't make sense. The odds are so stacked against us, and Lord, you're still asking me to trust in you? You know what I call those moments in life? Crossover moments. We're going to meet up with them a lot of times in life where God is going to ask us to move forward, to cross over this obstacle, this challenge, this raging river that's standing before us. And in our minds, it doesn't make sense. Now, what happened to Joshua and the Israelites? Well, the Lord said to Joshua, the way you're going to get across this river is the priests are going to stick their feet in the water, and the water's going to stop. I'm going to part the river, and you can walk across on dry land. If you were Joshua, what would you do? Anybody else up there I need to listen to? Joshua said, if that's you, Lord, okay, let's do it. By their obedience, you're reading Joshua chapter 3. By their obedience, when the soles of the feet of the priests stepped into the water, the Lord stopped the flow of the river. And it wasn't just a little stream bit again. The Lord stopped it and created a swath 20 miles wide so that 2 million people could cross this river. It was a huge event, folks. You know, sometimes we read the Bible, we read the story. Oh, okay, that's a good story. That's a cute story. It wasn't just a story, folks. God showed up in a mighty way at that time. We stopped up the river, and the Israelites could cross over on dry land. Not only did he stop it 20 miles wide, wherever they walked, it was completely dry. Is that a miracle or what? And the Lord says, as soon as you get across, Joshua, in fact, they get across now, and he says to Joshua, now choose a leader from every tribe. There are 12 tribes of Israel. I want 12 of your leaders to go back into the riverbed, pull up some rocks, come up to the bank, and build an altar, build a memorial. Why did God say that? Let's read together. Top of your notes what that scripture says there. Ready? Go. Let this be a sign among you, so that when your children ask later, saying, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall say to them, because the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. So these stones shall become a memorial to the sons of Israel forever. In other words, God commanded them, set a memorial now, lest you forget. Why was it a command that was so urgent? Why didn't God say, well, okay, why don't you just settle in first, build up your tents and whatever, and then when you got some time, set up a memorial for me. Why didn't he say it that way? He wanted them to build a memorial now. You know why? Because God knows us better than we know ourselves. That once they got across, they were going to get busy with life. They were going to get involved with things and stuff in life. And they were going to get distracted from remembering the fact that God showed up for them. And so God says, set a memorial now. He knows that many times the busier we get, the more forgetful we become. Isn't that true? Yeah, I don't know if it's age with me or just busyness, but I've been forgetting a lot of things lately. So Joyce says, well, write it down. So I've been writing things down. You know what the problem is now? I can't find the piece of paper I've been writing things down on. It's like this older couple, this man and his lady, they had a problem in their marriage. They've been married a long time, and they kept forgetting things, so they went to the doctor. Doctor listened. He said, oh, that's easy. Whatever you do between yourself, just write it down. He said, oh, that's simple enough. They went home. Husband sat on the sofa. He says, you know, I could use a little ice cream right now. She says, I'll get it for you. He says, you better write it down. Remember what the doctor said? Ah, it's just ice cream. I don't have to write it down. She goes into the kitchen. He sits back. He says, you know, strawberries. Strawberries would be good. Would you put some strawberries on that ice cream? I got it. You better write it down. Remember what the doctor said? I got it. It's just strawberries and ice cream. He says, you know what? Whipped cream would be good. Would you put some whipped cream on the top of the strawberries? She says, I got it. He says, you better write it down. You know what the doctor says? Oh, you old geezer. You're always bothering me about things like this. I got it. I'll take care of it. A few minutes later, she comes back in the living room. She has bacon and eggs. He says, I knew you would forget. I told you to write it down. She said, what? What did I forget? He said, the toast. You forgot the toast. Sometimes we think we can handle the simplest things in life, but so easily we can get distracted and we lose track of the most important things in life. And the Lord says, once you get across there, Joshua, build this memorial. Why? What should they remember? Would you write in number one? What the Lord wanted them to remember was that God showed up. What should we remember in life? We need to remember when God showed up in our lives. Many times we forget that. The Lord didn't want to wait for them to settle in. He wanted them to build a memorial now to remember the miraculous that just happened in their lives. And in fact, He forewarned them. He knew they were going to forget. And so in Deuteronomy, He said, then it shall come about when the Lord your God brings you into the land which He swore to your fathers, with houses full of good things which you did not fill, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant, and you eat and are satisfied. You know what's going to happen, folks? Let's read on with me. Read that with me. Then watch yourself. Ready? Go. Then watch yourself that you do not forget the Lord who brought you from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Would you underline the phrase, watch yourself? Be very careful. Be very concerned. Watch yourself that when you get into a position of prosperity, you don't forget God. The Lord forewarned Israel, and He's forewarning us. You know, folks, we're in a period right now economically where it's not doing too well. There are signs of recovery, but we will come out of this period. We will come out of it. And the Lord may be speaking to us right now as a forewarning. Watch yourself, folks. Be careful that you don't forget the fact that God has shown up in your life somewhere. The toughest test to pass, someone once said it this way, is not the test of poverty. Because when we're in poverty, we are calling out to God. We plead to God. We pray to God. You know what the toughest test is? The test isn't the test of poverty. The toughest test to pass is the test of prosperity. When we do well in life, when we become successful, if history teaches us anything, it repeats itself, doesn't it? It happened to Solomon. David, his father, set him up good, provided everything for his needs. When Solomon became successful, he forgot God. Let's read together 1 Kings. Ready? Go. Now the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned away from the Lord, who had appeared to him twice and had commanded him that he should not go after other gods. But he did not observe what the Lord had commanded. He appeared to Solomon not once, but twice. Solomon had clear instructions from the Lord. Don't turn to your right or to your left. Just stay true to my word. Follow my commandments. But when Solomon became prosperous, he forgot all about God, and he turned to other gods. I see that happening in America today. You know, when our country was first founded, it was founded upon Christian principles and Christian values. And it seemed like the harder we had to work to survive, the stronger was our prayers, the stronger would be the faith of our forefathers. They always called out to Christ and to the Lord. But look at what happened. Take a look at history. In the 1800s, 1900s, when America became more powerful, the 20th century, when we became a world power force, what has happened to God in America today? We've taken it out of schools. We've banned prayer and Bible readings in our public schools. We seem to have taken down more memorials to God than we have put up for Him. We've taken down more crosses, even in these islands. We've taken down more crosses that represents God's presence than we've put up memorials to remind us that we are one nation under God. And if you remember the cross at Kole Kole Pass, that was taken down. The beautiful, brightly lit cross up at Camp Smith, that was taken down. Hope Chapel, who lives in Kaneohe side, on their own grounds, put up a cross overlooking Kaneohe Bay because others in the community challenged that. That was taken down. We are removing more memorials to God. We are creating more of an absence of God than a reminder of God's presence in our lives. You take a look at what's happening within our school, within our Honolulu Police Department, because of a challenge from those on the outside, removed God Bless America from the oath of office. A few years ago, not too long ago, McKinley High School, their student honor code was challenged because it has "For Love of God." And because of the challenge, and because of people not wanting to step up to the challenge, that phrase was removed from the student honor code. You know what happens, folks? When we remove God from our country, we keep taking down these memorials of God. We forget about God's presence, and there seems to be a concerted effort to celebrate His absence. Then we lose perspective of life. Then we look at other gods that begin to crop up. There's so many other gods that America is turning to today. Two in particular, I see its ugly head rising up all the time. That's the God of self-gratification and the God of entitlement. I'm entitled to this. It's my right, people say, without understanding what a right means. Well, if you don't understand me. I'm making my demands, and you have to respond to my demands. Otherwise, I'm being discriminated against. It is my civil right, some people say, about certain issues. Why is that so? Because they feel they're entitled to it. There's an entitlement, and we honor more of these gods at the expense of the love that we should have for one another and to live together and to honor the values of our God. Why has that happened? Because we've removed God from our presence. And the Lord knew that, see? That's why He said to Joshua, before you get involved with anything else, set up a memorial so you can remember that I showed up, that I'm a part of your life. You know, when we can set up memorials like that to remind ourselves of the power and the presence of God, folks, it gives us confidence. It gives us confidence to tackle any raging river that's before us. Would you write in number two, why do we set up memorials? Why should we remember? Because it builds confidence for the future. We are going to face crossover moments in life. And the Lord is saying, look back at the times that I was with you in the past. In fact, in Hebrews, He says, remember those earlier days after you had received the light, when you stood your ground in a contest, in the face of suffering. He says, remember the time that you were challenged in life? You remember the time that you struggled? You remember the time that you were facing this raging river, this great obstacle, and you just didn't know where to turn, and somehow you stepped into the light, and I brought you out of that? Remember that time that I spoke hope into your heart to draw you out of that pit that you're in? You remember those times? Let's read together what else Hebrews says, because in those times, you will gain a confidence. Let's read on. So do not throw away. Ready? Go. So do not throw away your confidence. It'll be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you'll receive what He has promised. Life is a journey. And the question isn't if we face these crossover moments. It's when we do. How are we going to get across those times? How are we going to move across those moments in life when God is moving us forward? The only way we can do so with confidence is if we have these memorial markers that will remind us that if God was here before, God will be with us today. He will be with us in the future. You know, I don't know how Joshua did it. I would not want to put myself in Joshua's shoes. So he had taken the baton of leadership from Moses. It's not just Moses, any old man. This is Moses. He's the patriarch. He is the father, the spiritual father of 2 million people. He's the one who went toe-to-toe with Pharaoh, and he got the release of the Israelites from Egypt. He's the one who went up to the mountain and brought back the Ten Commandments. He saw God face to face. He's a man who led the nation of Israel through battles to bring them to the point at the brink of the promised land. And now he hands the baton to Joshua. And he says, now take these 2 million people across the river. They weren't the nicest 2 million people either. You read about them. They were a bunch of grumblers. They were complainers. They were whiners. A lot of them wanted to go back to Egypt. And Joshua had the responsibility to carry them across. How in the world would Joshua step up to that river and act confidently to lead them across. What gave him that confidence? You know what it was? He saw what happened at the Red Sea. He was with Moses at the Red Sea when the Red Sea was parted. And because of what he experienced, he knew that God was with Moses before. God will be with me today. But how many of them saw what happened at the Red Sea? Because of their disobedience, the entire generation was wiped out. That's why they had to wander for 40 years. Only Joshua and Caleb were left. That's why the Lord says, build a memorial now. Because all these younger ones, they didn't see what happened. I want them to see what you did. And when they come to this memorial, I want them to remember that God was with us here at the Jordan River. And he will therefore be with us in the future, no matter what challenges we come across. See, these memorials are very important, not just for Joshua, but for the future generations. That's why Joshua 4 says this. Let's read that scripture. Ready? Go. In the future, your children will ask, what do these stones mean? Tell them, this is where the Israelites crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the river right before your eyes. And he kept it dry until you were all across, just as he did at the Red Sea. So all the nations of the earth might know that the Lord's hand is powerful. And so you might fear the Lord your God forever. That memorial was so future generations could trust in the power of the Almighty God. And they would then have confidence to move forward, to face anything they'd be facing. You know, the name Ahu has a very significant meaning in the Hawaiian language. Now, I'm Chinese. I'm also Hawaiian. And Pastor Wayne teases my Chinese side because if you ask me for my Hawaiian, I need to take off this shoe and show you my right toe. That's where the Hawaiian is. That's all I got. But the name Ahu has a significant meaning in the Hawaiian language. It means a heap of stones. Okay, it doesn't mean I'm stoned. It's just it means a heap of stones. Would you bring it out, please? What the Hawaiians used to do with some stones is they would use it, thank you, as a marker. And let me lay these stones here. They would use it as a boundary marker in some instances where they would have these major land divisions and they would set up a pile of stones, an ahu, to mark where the boundary was between these two major land divisions. And on that pile of stone, they would then offer for the chief, the neighboring chief, they would offer a pig or a pua'a. That's why these major land divisions in Hawaii is called a ahu pua'a. It's because an ahu was a marker, a boundary marker. Ahu was also used as a trail marker, where someone was going into the forest and they were going to hunt or to gather. They wanted to know that the trail that they took would be the same trail that they would use to come back. So they would take some stones, take a few stones, and they would build a little ahu to mark the trail. And when they passed that marker, that ahu, they would know that they were on the right trail. They would take some other stones and further on down the trail so that they know that they're on the right path. They would create, say, another ahu along the way. And so these ahus, yeah, stay there, okay? Obey. Ahus kind of disobedient sometimes. But they would mark the trail so that as they would walk by and they would do their business and they do their hunting and whatever, they want to find their way back home. They'd walk back and they go, oh, there's an ahu. Okay, I'm on the right path. Now here's another ahu. That means I'm on the right path. I'm going the right way. It was also for those who didn't know the trail. And as they would be walking by, they would be wondering, now, which trail do I take? Well, oh, somebody built an ahu here. Here's another ahu. That means I'm on the right path because someone had been there before. So I can trust that as I follow these markers, I trust that I'm on the right path. Aren't you glad you have an ahu in front of this church today? Yeah? Amen. Follow the right path. Yeah. Just kidding. But when I thought about that, I thought, well, it's so interesting that the ahus were these trail markers to show the right way so that when you're on the trail, you have confidence to know where you're walking, to know where you're heading, that someone had been there before. And because of that, you can trust in that. And I thought, man, well, that's why the Lord asked Joshua to build these ahus. these stone piles, these memorials, so that those in the future, when they pass by, they would say, wow, there's a memorial there. That means God has been here. And if God has been with me in the past, God will be with me today. God will be with me tomorrow, no matter what the challenges we may face. It's for our future generations. See, my son Jared, who is, you know, 7 now, he's turning 8, he's too young still to fully understand, to fully grasp just the whole move that we made, the decision and the processing we went through to move from being a judge into ministry. He doesn't understand that at all. Even I don't understand that at all. But the depth and the magnitude of the presence of God in the process of doing that, he doesn't quite get. He's too young yet. He doesn't quite understand what it meant for us to sacrifice, you know, finances and resources and our private lives. I mean, Joy and I were set to just go around the world. We could just retire and just live out the rest of our lives very happily. And he doesn't understand the magnitude of making that decision to give that up, to go to China and adopt him at our age. It's not easy to raise a little boy at the age that I am. You know, the other day I'm doing my push-up. Jared is signed up for football. I'm doing my push-ups, and just out of nowhere, he comes and gives me a blindsided tackle. Boom! And just knocks me over. I said, Jared, would you just leave me alone? So I'm doing more push-ups. 1, 2, boom! He hits me again, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, I wish I was younger, and I just nail this guy, but I can't. But he doesn't understand the magnitude of giving all that up to go and adopt him. He doesn't understand, and he doesn't yet understand the power and presence of God that was in the process of Joy, having worked 30 years plus for the state, walking away from that about 18 months before fully retiring, to give all that up to raise this little guy. He doesn't understand where God was involved in all of that. How do we preserve that for him so he will understand that? I got to build some ahus in my house. Some memorials to remind him of the presence of God, that God showed up, that God lives in our family. How do I do that? Number 3, you know what is the best way? How you should remember is through your lifestyle. The best memorial stone that you can offer to the Lord is your lifestyle. See, what made these stones special wasn't the fact that they were of pure gold or pure silver. The Bible says they were uncut stones. They were taken straight out of the riverbed and set up on the bank. They were taken out from where the river was flowing, or the river had been flowing, from the main stream of everything. And they were set apart on the bank. They were then whitewashed with some lime, and then the law of the God was written on each stone. In fact, Deuteronomy says that. He says, it shall be on the day when you cross the Jordan that you shall set up for yourselves large stones and write on them all the words of this law. See, those stones were special because wasn't for the fact of what they were made up of. They were special because they had been set apart from everything else. And they were set apart in such a way that when people would pass by, they would see these stones. And they would say, so what's up with these stones here? What's up with this pile of rocks? That would open the door for the Israelites to then say, oh, that's where God showed up. That's where we experienced the miracles of God. Let me tell you about my God. It opened up a huge door for them to share their testimony. That's what made these stones special. Now, I'm not asking you, and God isn't asking you, after this message is done, to go down to Nuwana Stream and pull some rocks out of the stream, okay? I'm not asking you to build like 12 rocks in your home, because the Lord is saying, I want you to be a memorial unto me. I want you, now that Christ has died for your sins and has given you new life, I want you to be living stones for me. In fact, read 1 Peter. That's what it says there. Ready? Go. You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing in which they slander you, they may, because of your good deeds, glorify God in the day of visitation. You see, God is so good that he doesn't require us anymore to build these physical things. He says, you be the living stone. You'll be the ones that have been set apart. You know, I am so glad. How many of you are glad that God pulled your feet out of the miry clay and the muck of life and put you in a place that's been set apart? You're no longer in the mainstream of things, but He set you apart and He's written His law in your heart so that now you are a special living stone. Are you glad for that? I am. That makes you special, see? You don't need to have this big old rock anymore. God says, I've imprinted it on your heart. Now, He says, now live in such a way that when people see you as a living stone, by the way that you live, that it'll open a door for you to then share your testimony about him, about me. You know, people will go come before you and they'll say, wow, man, I don't understand how you can even live after going through that experience. Or you look at what you're facing right now. You've been unemployed for like 8 months. How are you getting along? Your husband left you and 5 kids with nothing. How come you're still rejoicing? What's up with you? It's an open door, folks, for you to say, you know, it's because of this God that I have. Because of God's presence in my life. Because of who He is and the confidence He's given me in the past, where He's been with me in the past, He will be with me now and forevermore. I can rejoice over that. See, you're a living stone. You become a reminder to the world, no matter how many times they try to destroy the monuments to God, you be the living memorial that they can't take away from this life. It's you. You're the living stones. You know, we need some in our lives, though, to remind us. I keep some what I call memorial stones in my life to remind me of the goodness of God, because I need to be reminded every day. Like, would you bring out that table? There's some memorial stones. One, of course, is the Bible. I will do my devotions every day or try to so that I can remind yourself. It's not an educational tool. When I do my devotions, I look for God's revelation in my life. I look for how He is active and alive and reminds me of His presence. That's one. That's one memorial stone. I have others here that I want to show you. I keep in my office or I keep it at home. Let's just start out with this one. This is a crown of thorns that someone had given to me. These are real thorns, folks. And it reminds me of how God, Jesus, died for my sins, how He suffered for my sins. How undeserving I am of a man sacrificing himself for me. I keep this in my office, and I look at this every day to remind myself about it. I have here my baptismal plaque from New Hope. It serves as a reminder again how God showed up in my life. That if there's anybody who is undeserving of a second chance or a third chance, it was me. But God, out of His goodness and graciousness, was able to forgive me of my sins, to cleanse me of all unrighteousness, and allowed me to be reborn again, to wash away my past. I used to have this in my chambers, and as a judge, before I made any decision, I would stand before this plaque to remind myself who I am in Christ and how I need to make godly decisions. I keep this in my home now. These two little ceramic books here is a reminder to me on how God showed up in my marriage. Again, I don't deserve to be married today. But God somehow found His way into my life and allowed me to marry a wonderful lady named Joy. I look at her and the way that she loves me and the way that she forgives me many times. I've married way above my head, folks. These two little books here, a ceramic, handmade favors that we had for our wedding. And so on one side you see Jeremiah 29:11, the other side is a thank you. I keep these at home to remind me about patience, because I had to make these. Joyce, yeah. She said, we need 100 of these. I said, no problem. Like on the 10th one, I wanted to throw these over the ledge. But I had to form them, I had to pour the slip, get the ceramic molds together, I had to sand it, I had to glaze it, stamp it, print it. But it reminds me again on how God showed up in a mighty way in our life, in our marriage. God is real. This picture is of my son, Brandon. This is a graduation picture from high school. He's 28 now. And I keep it in my home to remind me of how God showed up in my relationship with my son. See, before I became a Christian, I had divorced his mom when he was but 2 years old. And there is no way that our relationship could have been healed unless God got involved. And I look at this picture. Every time I look at it, it reminds me of how good God is to have healed our relationship, to have brought us close together. We're so close today. We're closer than best friends. And in fact, on Father's Day, he's going to help me with the message. But it shows me how God is real in my relationship with my son. Here's another memorial stone that I keep. It's a greeting card. It's about the little train that could. Remember that story, some of you little kids? A train that just always thought he couldn't do it, until he had to change the way he thought. And this card says, "I think I can, I think I can, I think I can," as it's traveling up this steep slope. See, when I first got into ministry, I had no idea what I was getting involved with. And there are so many times, you know, I just wanted to walk away. A friend of mine gave me this card. And he says, "Keep thinking that you can. Keep believing that you can. With God's strength, you can." And so I framed this card, and I have it in my office. And many times I'll look at this to remind myself that only with God can I keep going. Here's one that's a framed $2 bill. No, it's not the first $2 I made at New Hope, although that's close to my salary right now. It's a $2 bill that was given to me at a function that I had attended. I had just left the bench and was invited to a luncheon sponsored by a lot of Filipino women. They were there singing and praising in tongues, and it was all new to me. I felt it was a bit weird. But when the event was done, they all kind of came up to the stage, and they were trying to touch me and shake my hand. And this one lady pulled out this $2 bill from her Bible. And she says, "Here, this is for you." I thought, $2? And $2 for this lunch? And she said, "You know, a pastor gave this to me. And he said, you will know the person that you need to give this to. And when I heard you speak, I knew that God wants you to have this $2 bill. Because when you get into ministry, it's going to be really tough for you. And there'll be many times where it's just you and God. And when you come to those moments, I want you to look at this $2 bill and remind yourself that it's you and God." I frame it and I keep it in my office. Because again, many times I need to remind myself that God is present, that God did show up in my life, and I can tackle any challenge that's put my way. Here's a Chinese ceramic horse. I keep it as a memorial stone because I had a chance to go to China and meet with some lawyers and judges who are these Chinese Christians. And I tell you, folks, you cannot comprehend what these Chinese leaders have to go through every day trying to live out the gospel in a third world country. Despite the fact that they get persecuted, they suffer, they get imprisoned, they still pursue the gospel. And I had a chance to meet with these guys. And after I had a chance to share my testimony, one of them, who is a partner in a law firm, said to me, or asked me, "Hey, what's your Chinese sign?" You know, Chinese have these different signs. I said, "Well, I'm a horse, and I've always looked for a horse my entire life, and I couldn't find one." He says, "Hey, come out with me." So we went out to his car, opened up his trunk. He had a set of 8 hand-painted horses, and he said, "I want you to have this as a gift." This, folks, reminds me of the presence of God in China today, that he is alive and well and active, and he's doing a mighty work in China. What's this for? Well, when Pastor Wayne gets out of hand, I just... Just kidding. He's probably watching something. Just kidding, Wayne. Just kidding. This is a replica of gavels that we use in our courtroom. And it's to remind me of the presence of God in making that decision. You know, I can share my testimony about it. I can tell you about it. But you'll never know what it's like to sit there and contemplate, Lord, are you really calling me to leave all that behind and to get involved in ministry? Lord, it doesn't happen. You know, when I think back about the decision I made, and sometimes I look at myself giving a testimony about it, it's so surreal because it doesn't happen. Who walks away from a job, and right now their salary is escalating? They're over $100,000 plus. Their caseload is getting even lighter because of arbitration and mediation. And, you know, who walks away from stuff like that to come into a church setting? It doesn't happen. Sometimes I want to hit myself on the head with this, but it reminds me that God was in the process of all of that. And if God was real back then, He's so real for me today. And I can tackle any challenge that comes my way. This is a memorial stone that captures a picture of a mom and a son. Some of you may have heard the story before, and I can share it with you later if you haven't. Where we went to China, and Joy was not in the mood to adopt anybody. She wanted to have her own child. But when she walked into this playroom, there was this little guy, Jared. He reached up for her. She reached down to him. It was love at first sight. And this picture was taken moments thereafter. She never wanted to put him down. And the whole adoption thing is a God story. I mean, it had to be God to bring him and only him into our lives. The way that it happened, the whole process that it took, it was only God that made it happen. We hang this in our home to remind us that whenever he gets rascal and out of hand, I can look at this picture and remind myself, it was God. It wasn't me. It wasn't you. It had to be God. But it's a memorial stone of God's presence. And finally, this little vial of oil is a vial that you can pick up at our bookstore or any other store. It's an oil that's been blessed, and we use it to anoint people. That's a memorial stone in our house, and I keep it where we can see it every day. Why? Well, a few months ago, there was just something going on in my household. It just wasn't right. I couldn't put my finger on it. Jared was kind of acting up. Something's happening. And I got up to do my devotions one morning, and reading about Achan, the story is about the Israelites being told, as you become victorious over this camp, these people, don't touch anything. Don't take any of the spoil. And Achan disobeyed. And he took some things and he hid it. And because of the sin of one man, thousands of people died that day. And I read that story and I thought, oh my goodness. I ran in the bedroom. I woke up Joy, brought her out. I brought Jared to the table. I said, listen to the story. We're going to read the story. I read it to them. And I said, you know, Jared, by the sin of one person in this household, if we allow the enemy just a little foothold in this household, it'll turn everything upside down. There cannot be any sin in this household. Got it? He goes, yeah. So I grabbed the bottle of oil, the vial of oil. I said, I'm going to pray. We're going to anoint everything in this household and pray that the devil has no foothold here. I'm going to start with you. I'm going to anoint your head, Jared, with oil. I'm going to pray for you. Then I'm going to anoint mom's head with oil. I'm going to pray for her. And Jared, I want you to anoint me, and you pray for me. So I anointed him, and I prayed for Joy. I said, Jared, here's the vial. Now you anoint Dad's head. Took the bottle. He wanted to pour it on my head. I said, no, just take a little bit. And that little guy said a prayer for me in my life. Then we went around the rest of the house, and I anointed the front doorway. I anointed the door to every one of our rooms. I anointed the windows, and I said, devil, you have no place in this household. I took him to the computer. I said, Jared, I want you to anoint the computer. And he did a little cross on the computer, and the thing about the oil, it stays. Even to this day, you can see that little cross there. I said, you cannot allow the devil to even come through this computer. He's not going to enter this house through our television set. So we went to the televisions, and we anointed the TVs. I said, even for Dad. So I took him to the bedroom, put a little cross on the TV that I watch at night. The devil has no place in this household. Why did I do that? Why do I keep that on our mantle? Because I want him to see that God is present here, that there's a power of God's presence in our house. The memorial stones. You know, folks, if we could do that with our lives, if we could all have these memorial stones to remind us of the presence and power of God, to give us the confidence to move forward towards whatever it is that you may be challenged with, even right now and in the future. If we could be the living stones to allow our community to remember that God, this is a nation under God, indivisible. We could be a church like that. We can change the world, can't we? It's up to us. It's up to us. Can we be a church of living memorial stones? Amen. 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 Would you stand with me as we conclude? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for Joshua and his ministry and just his willingness to follow you, Lord, no matter what the challenge was before him. Thank you for up memorial stones in our lives, whatever it may be, Father, to remind ourselves that you are real, that you are living and present in our lives. And may we indeed be, by our lifestyle, the living stones so the world can see us, and by seeing the example through which we live, that they will know that you are a great and miraculous God. Father, on this memorial day, may we never forget you. In Jesus' name we pray. Would you seal that to your heart with a clap?
Great Memorial Day. Would you love on someone as you go?